Most married people who have a happy, growing relationship will tell you, probably confidentially and off the record, that the real secret of a happy marriage, a successful marriage, is learning how to fight. Now, they may have been given some pious advice by their family or even in school that people who love each other should not fight. But in the real world, where people live together, what counts most is not avoiding conflict, but rather knowing how to carry on the conflict. Now, those couples who claim that they never fight may just possibly have a very happy marriage, but at the same time, they may also be repressing all kinds of dangerous tensions and conflicts. You remember a few years ago that terrible saccharine movie, Love Story, was a movie in which we were informed that love means never having to say you're sorry. That is utter nonsense. It's not true. Love means being able to say, I am sorry. The entire Eucharist this afternoon is centered around forgiveness, mercy, which is simply to say that it is concerned about love operating in conflict. Love that operates in conflict. There's not a person here today that is not familiar with that kind of situation. Each one of us has experienced some kind of conflict with the people that we love, with our parents, with our children, with our close friends, with our colleagues, and above all, if you are married, with your spouse. And at the very height of your conflict, there is always a strong urge in your personality to say, getting involved with you was really a terrible mistake. And the best thing I can do right now is become uninvolved as quickly as possible. And then returns a moment of sanity and a recognition that what follows will be mercy and gradually forgiveness and reconciliation. And later on, the next step is, when you finally calm down, you wonder, as you look back, how you could possibly have thought what you really did think at that time. What happens is that love between two people grows not so much as if it were a very peaceful, untroubled path, as if you were going up an ancient mountain that's very smooth, but rather love grows through wild, desperate leaps over rocks and across chasms. And always each new leap involves mercy and forgiveness and reconciliation. Love becomes stronger after each one of those kind of events. Now, just for a moment, let's put aside the question of forgiveness toward the distant enemy. Today we're talking about what is far more important for all of us in our ordinary daily lives. Not our concern of forgiveness to the distant enemy, but rather our forgiveness of the intimate enemy. Forgiving the intimate enemy with whom we live and are in love. The story that Jesus told about the mercy that the king shows his servant is absolutely essential in any kind of close relationship, particularly that within a home. A human relationship in which it is always necessary for one of the partners always to be right and the other partner always to be wrong ends up as a very unhealthy relationship indeed. The reconciliation dialogue is always one in which one partner asks for forgiveness and the other shows mercy. Now we have in such a dialogue a situation just as the one described by Jesus in today's gospel. The wicked servant very cheerfully accepts the mercy of God, but he refuses to show mercy to anyone else. We simply cannot say, "I'm sorry," to the living God unless we are also willing to say, "I'm sorry," to human beings, particularly to the intimate enemy with whom we are in love. And a human relationship that becomes so badly stylized that one person is permanently dispensed from saying, "I am sorry," while the other person is always dispensed from responding mercifully, is going to end up as unbalanced and eventually in very serious trouble as a relationship. Now the difference between the king and the servant in today's story is that the servant kept very, very careful books, and the king did not. The king never bothered to store up a diary of all the people who injured him, all the past wrongs that had been done to him. He didn't carefully bide his time, waiting for that great day when he could finally dump all of the wrongs, the injuries that were stored up on the servant's head. No, the king was magnanimous, he was forgiving, he was big in spirit, and he was always ready to wipe the slate clean. And above all, the king was ready to forget and start out anew with a clean slate. But that little small-minded servant, wicked, because he very, very carefully kept account in great detail of anyone who ever did anything wrong to him. And those memories he kept until the day came when he could use them. We are to be like the king, not only willing to forgive, but also willing to forget. We should be willing to cancel out on the account books. We should not bear grudges, as the wicked servant did. And we ask this afternoon, are we like the king, or are we like that little small-minded servant? Now, so often, in the intimate relationships that we have with people, there might not be open conflict, but behind those masks, there's so often a wide, wide variety of suppressed grudges. People very coolly wearing their masks and just waiting for the day, waiting for the opportunity to settle the score and finally get even. It is much, much better for people to fight openly and honestly, one event after the other, clear the air, rather than go on waiting for the day of reckoning, rather than go on allowing these things to fester. But then we say, since it is good, wholesome, and Christian to fight, how do you fight? How do you go about fighting? Remember, first of all, that there are enormous differences in personality styles. It's important to remember that as you live together, you learn about the personality of the person and discover the approach that that person has to fighting. It does not mean that one style is superior to the other. Rather, you become sensitive to the partner's style of processing conflict and mercy and reconciliation. And then, as time goes on, one partner learns how to adjust to the style of the other partner in fighting. And if the styles end up being drastically different, that neither partner is able to claim that one style is better than the other. Otherwise, you end up spending all of your time in a vicious circle trying to decide how to fight, rather than that get down to the very business of what it is that you are fighting about. The obvious thing that must be done in an intimate relationship is that you discover that there is a process, there's a protocol, and you end up working out a compromise with the other person on how, as time goes on, you are going to fight and work things out. But just as it will simply not do for one person always to have the monopoly of the obligation to go and seek forgiveness, it also will not do in a mature relationship for one person to impose his or her own particular style of conflict and reconciliation on the other. All of these things must end up in compromise. So how do you process conflict with your intimate enemies, your parents, your children, your spouse, your close friends, your colleague? Is your style like the king? Can you fight it out, forgive, and then forget? Or are you like a small-minded, wicked servant? Do you insist that you are always the one who's going to be forgiven and not the other? Do you always impose your mode of conflict on others, whether they like it or not? The time is now, as you are growing up, for you and your intimate enemy, who also happens to be your beloved, to take a good, hard look at how you fight with one another. And only then will you learn how to grow in love with one another.